This is a 14-week study, and the cost of the workbooks are $30. Now you say, whoa, that's a lot, Teresa. Well, now, girls, really, last year we had the best bargain, did we not? We only paid $12 for our books last year. Now, that was a bargain for 20 weeks. This year we're doing precept Bible study, and precept Bible study is this. They charge $2.50 per lesson. So this study is actually 13 lessons. It's going to be a 14-week study because today is our introduction. So $2.50 times 13 is going to end up being $30. Now that's a bargain. If that's tight in your budget, you can pay in installments, or you can let me know, and we have scholarships available. I want everybody to have a book. You're going to miss so much if you just come and you don't do your homework and have a book, because you know this is true. You get out of something what you put in. Is that not true? And so I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to ask you to do your part, and your part is going to be your homework. So the first part of our study, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy, and that's going to be 13 lessons, 14 weeks. And then as soon as we get done with this, we're going to look at the tiny book of Titus. That is only going to be a 3-week study. And guess what? The cost of that is only going to be $7.50. So that makes us feel better, doesn't it? We're going to begin September 8th. That's today. And then we're going to break November the 3rd. We're going to break for the whole holiday season. And I'll tell you why we're breaking November the 3rd. Is because seven of the small group leaders will be going to Tennessee on a training event the very next Thursday. And then the Thursday following that, I'm going to be out of town with my husband. So I just decided we'd go ahead and break at November the 3rd. That's going to give us the rest of November and the rest of December, which is such a busy time in our families. Also, one of those weeks we care always uses the fellowship hall for their Thanksgiving dinner. Remember, we always have to go down and meet in the sanctuary. So when we break and we're not going to meet on that Thursday before Thanksgiving, that's going to help them with the fellowship hall. So that's my reasoning in breaking November the 3rd. Then we'll come back. We'll resume on January the 12th. That's going to give us a week to get the kids in school, kind of get a deep breath. And we'll pick back up and we'll be done on March the 1st. And that may be wrong. It might be the next week. But anyway, I'll check it out. Every week, we pass an offering basket in our small groups. And today, there are baskets on many of your tables. And if you have a basket, I'm going to ask you to pass it around. Because we have, I think there are, Renee, help me, are there seven nursery workers? Where's Renee? She's down in the nursery. We have like 7 or 8 nursery workers that are keeping our babies. And I tell you, my favorite thing is all of these young moms that are here in Bible study. You know, for years we went on Thursday mornings. We didn't have any young moms. We didn't even need a nursery. And that's tragic. And now we have got a booming crop of babies down in our nursery. And so we have to pay for our nursery workers. And so if you just put in $1, $5, $10, $20, oh heck, just put $100 in. And that will help a lot to help us pay for our nursery workers each week. And I thank you for helping that. You older moms can really help in that area so our younger moms can come and enjoy Bible study and enjoy being with their friends and enjoy having fellowship. And enjoy centering their relationships around God's beautiful word. What a thing, what a wonderful thing. Because we're going to be starting next week breaking in small groups and just talking about all that we're learning out of God's beautiful word. Number 4 on your handout is that every week we enter in, we have things on our heart that we want to pray for one another. And that's very important. So as you break into your small group each week, you're going to pass a little prayer request sheet around. And you can write down your request. During your small group time, that's going to be copied. And you, as a small group, are going to pray for one another. So that's another thing I want you to see. And also put your praises on there. Now notice number 5. This is very important. Some of you are not Baptists, but Baptists cannot meet unless they eat. Now, that is in the Bible somewhere. I haven't found it, but I know it's in there somewhere. And so we're going to serve light refreshments every week. And we're going to serve our refreshments between small group time and our lecture time. And so I handle that through the small groups. And if you'll turn on the back, you'll see that I have assigned small groups certain dates to do the refreshments. And so something simple as picking up donuts from Walmart or picking up cookies. But if you cook something really, really good, we're going to have your recipe. So bring it with you, because we copy those recipes and get them out, because we've gotten some good recipes over the years out of Thursday morning Bible study. Number 6 says, remember to begin your study in prayer. Be prompt. We're going to start in this room every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And if you're late, that's okay. But try to be here at 9 o'clock, and I'm going to do my best to be done at 11. Sometimes it's a little past 11, but I'll do my best to be done at 11. Now, there on my page, you see our small group leaders for this year. I'm going to ask them to stand. Carrie Soames is sitting here. Terry Fisher, don't know where she is. Terry, stand. Here's Terry. Carolyn Hennington is out of town this morning. Sunny Holmes is in Mexico today. And then Renee Hudson. I think Renee's, there's Renee. Renee Hudson. Gloria Kellums. There's Gloria. Debbie Smith. There's Debbie. Amy Case is new to our small group leaders this year, and she's taken Vera Ann Salter's place because Vera Ann moved, and we're still sad about that, aren't we? Karen Braden, where's Karen? There she is. And Joyce Bedsole and Nancy Hoover. Where's Nancy? There she is. So you get a good look at them, because at the bottom of your registration form, if you would like to pick a small group to be in, I will do my best to put you in that small group. I can't always do that, because say you say, I want to be with this person and that person, but that person wants to be with another person. I mean, you know, it can get really complicated. But I want everybody to be in the small group they want to be in. So next week when you get here and you're in a small group that you don't like, I don't care. Go where you like. I want everybody to be happy. So it usually takes a few weeks to kind of let our small groups settle down. Some small groups will be bigger than others, and we don't care. That's okay. So be thinking about that. Also, our assistant small group leaders are, and if they'll stand, Lindra Romack, Mary Nations, oh, I should have put Mary Smith. I'm sorry, she got married. And Christy Sessoms, Angie Lenz, Christy Shepherd, and Stephanie Orr. Wonderful. So that kind of lets us know that. Now, I need everybody to be sure and fill out their registration form for me this morning and just leave it on your table, and I'll pick it up after our small group is over. Now, next, I have asked two ladies to come and share a testimony about precept Bible study. Precept Bible study, we haven't done precept Bible study in over 10 years on Thursday mornings. When we started our Thursday morning Bible studies long ago, we did precept. And then we kind of took a detour, and now we've come back to do precept. When you look at your homework, you're going to notice it's not like our other homework that we've been doing in the past few years. It's a little different, and you're going to be tempted to say, I can't do this, or this is too hard, or I don't know how to do this. So this morning, I want to just take a time to give some testimony and to encourage you, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to teach you some basics of inductive Bible study. So I'm going to ask Gloria Kellums to come first and share just a brief testimony. If I could name her anything, I would name her Miss Precept. She loves precept. And anyway, tell us what your testimony is, Gloria.
I think we're running out of membership forms. Maybe
okay.
She's going to need one.
All right.
Okay. But I'm not a speaker in front of people, so... Can everybody hear what I'm saying?
No.
I've got it, okay, like this? Okay. I don't. But I would like, I could talk to any of you one-on-one about precept all day long, but I will pretend you all are not out there. I was thinking about what it means to me, and I really could be up here all day long talking about what it means to me. It's opened up the Bible to me. I'm so thankful for Teresa. I started studying precept with her in 1999. We were on 1 Corinthians, and I had been in Sunday school and heard preaching and read my Bible through and done all of those things, but it just never came together, ever, like it did with precept. And it started just like a foundation. I just started building on it and building on it more and more. And I was thinking about it, and I got to thinking what it really means to me is it's how I get to know God. It's how He reveals Himself, and He tells me about Himself. It's like a love letter, personal, to each one of us from God. And as we read and study our Bible, it just opens up more and more about what it is, and we get to communicate with Him. And precept bases it on knowledge. And God's a God of knowledge. We don't have to have emotions or feelings or things like that to think that we know something and be kind of moved with that. We can have a solid foundation based on knowledge. And there's plenty of emotions and things in the Bible, but if you know what I'm saying, you just get a grounding that you know it. And that's just so important to me, because you don't get swayed real easily by things when you know that. And I thought about what we're going to learn in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is inspired by God. And that means that it's breathed. It's just the very breath of God. And it's profitable for us for teaching or reproof, correction or training. And you'll learn in precept, all means all. And so that means even the little books like Haggai or Numbers or something like that, that you think there's nothing, you know, what on earth are they in there for? It's amazing what you can dig out of them. And the sound doctrine that Paul's going to emphasize to Timothy in 2 Timothy over and over. You know your sound doctrine. You know error when you hear it, because you've mined out these little jewels, as Kay likes to say, for yourself. And he's going to tell Timothy to retain the standards. And it's just every day in my life I hear things that I know are error because I've studied them in precept. And just what comes to mind is you'll always hear stuff about dinosaurs. And they'll say dinosaurs, and oh, the dinosaurs all died out way before men were here. Well, we studied Genesis several years ago, and you realize that sin brought death into the world. And there wasn't sin until Adam and Eve sinned. So the dinosaurs didn't die all out before that, you know. And I was like, you know, every time I hear that, I'm just like, that's such error. If they just read, just started their Bible, they would know that that's not true. And then I've taught teenagers and in Sunday school. And last year, one of the boys that you think, well, he doesn't pay that much attention, came in and he said, oh, Miss Gloria, everybody at school is all upset because they're not going to get to graduate and they're not going to get to go to college and all this kind of stuff. And I said, why are they upset? And he said, because the world's coming to the end and all that kind of stuff and they're not going to. And I just looked at him and I said, and what do you think about that? And he said, well, I just looked at him and I said, if God didn't tell Jesus when the world's coming to an end, why do you think he told some fool preacher out in whatever? Like, and I was like, you know why you know that? Because you've studied your Bible. And I guess I'll end with a grandson story. We were walking day before yesterday, and he's almost 4 now. And he just amazes me at the truth that he knows. And we were talking about ants and stuff, and he was looking at the ants on the road. And all of a sudden, he looked up at me and said, Nene, have you ever heard of Baal? No, he said, have you ever heard of Ahab? And I said, yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, Ahab, tell me about Ahab. And he said, do you know that he had a statue that he called Baal, that he let that be his god? And I said, okay. I said, what do you know about that? And he said, he prayed to Baal, to a statue. And he said, he prayed for that statue to send fire. Now, nay, nay. You know only God can do that. So that's just what precept means to me, and it's just been such a blessing. Trace is a blessing. So.
Thank you. All right. And now Nick Carey. And now this is Karen Brayton's going to share a testimony.
Hey, I'm Presbyterians. We don't do testimonies a lot, so so bear with me. In fact, I was saying to my husband last night, and he's spoken, you know, David's never met a mic he didn't love. And so he, I said, you know, I'm nervous. I said, I made the mistake of telling Teresa a story, and the next thing I know, I'm saying something to y'all today. And he said, I said, you know, I'm a little nervous. He said, well, I found that I'm not nearly, I think I'm going to get this really wise comment, you know, helpful hint. I'm not really as nervous when I'm wearing the costume of an animal. So if you'd like, you can borrow my cowardly lion costume. So y'all just be glad I don't have that on today. The story I told Teresa is the time I did two precept studies at one time. Do not do this at home. Do not ever try to do that. But I got married when I was 23. I was going to be a career woman. I was, you know, a lot of you girls have had your wedding notebooks together, and you've been planning on being a mother and a housekeeper and a homemaker, and that was not me at all. I got married. Surprise, surprise, 13 months later, I had a baby. She was an easy baby. Slept through the night, so that was kind of fun, and my husband was in his fourth year of med school. That was kind of easy. And then, surprise, surprise, number two comes along. So after 2.5 years of marriage, I had two small children, a husband who was either on call, moonlighting, or asleep. The second baby was colicky and cried all the time. And I was not a very good homemaker. I was not a very good wife. I didn't know what to do with these kids. Totally overwhelmed. And so, but I had been going to Bible studies and whatever. Well, some of the ladies at my church asked me to do a precept. And so I signed up, and the first time I'd only did one. Then I made that mistake of doing two. But just so you'll know that it can be done, okay? But anyway, it ended up being such a blessing. A lot of these women were a stage ahead of me in life. My mother was 650 miles away. I didn't have anybody to ask for advice. They were, you know, they had already lived through the stages that I didn't think I was going to survive. So I was studying the Word of God and getting godly counsel at the same time. And that's such a benefit, especially to you young moms here. I would like to kind of challenge you and encourage you that you're going to be overwhelmed. If you haven't ever done a precept, that first week you are going to be overwhelmed. Don't let it get to you. I mean, just dive in, do the best you can. God's not going to love you one bit more if you get every answer correct on that first lesson or the second or whatever. That changes nothing. It's only that you put the effort in. You either, you know, it's going to take a lot of time, and you'll either make time or make excuses. So I just encourage you to try to make the time to do the study. And then also, and I kind of hate to say this because this is like plan B, but I've seen this happen so many times that something comes along. The kids pass strep back and forth, and you miss 3 weeks. Or, you know, you have grandchildren, or, you know, lots of things. Conflicts just arise, and you miss a few weeks. And it's easy to go, I'm too far behind. I just need to give it up and start again next year. Don't. Just if it's too overwhelming to go back and do the lessons that you've missed, just start where you are. God will honor that. You will get something from that. Just don't be a perfectionist in this situation. Do the best you can. Pray for God to give you the time and reveal things, the word to him, but don't be a quitter. Where's this guy right here? See, I don't even know how to hold them on.
Here, I'll take it. You did good, Karen. And that's very good advice. If you get behind, don't quit. Well, I want to share my testimony about precept Bible study, too. Growing up, as a child in my home, I had very
little exposure to the Bible. My family was just loosely associated with the church. We were taken to church sporadically. I was the child that my mother sewed, and so every Easter she would make us all beautiful Easter outfits. Well, of course, you had to go to church on Easter to take your children to show their outfits off. And that's kind of the home life that I grew up in. I was biblically illiterate. I didn't go to vacation Bible school. I had very little exposure to Sunday school. I mean, kind of infrequently we might go. I was not a part of any youth group. My friends were. And I was secretly jealous that they were. But I was not. I didn't go to summer camp. There's my phone of all things.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't go to any kind of a discipleship class, but I was raised in the South, and I did have some understanding of the gospel, and mainly because I'd heard Billy Graham on television. I just loved Billy Graham. We would watch Billy Graham in our homes. And I knew the basic facts of the gospel. I believed in God. I believed his son was Jesus, whom he had sent to die on the cross for our sins. And I just knew those facts. That's all I knew. And then, as a young bride, Bill and I lived in small town Mississippi. And when I say small town, I mean small town. It was not Brookhaven. And, you know, there's not much to do in a small town. And in small towns, everything centers around the church. And so we went to church. And I started going to Sunday school in that church. And that's where I met Miss Beryl Harper. She was my Sunday school teacher. She loved the Bible. She knew her Bible. And every week as I would sit in her class, my heart would be strangely moved. And I would even have tears come to my eyes. And I would think, what is going on? And during those brief years in that church, I came to understand the gospel in a different way. And I'll tell you what happened to me. I was born again. I got saved. It was wonderful. All of a sudden, the Bible became alive to me after that happened. I just could not get enough of the Bible. I remember my very first Bible study that I got involved in after I was saved was a Bible study titled The Philosophy of Christian Womanhood. I could not get over everything the Bible had to say about womanhood. And so during that Bible study, what we would do as women is sit around a little table and listen to a cassette player of these women talk about the Bible. And I remember some of the ladies just thought it was boring. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? This is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard in the world. I bought my own set of those tapes. And I went home and I listened to them over and over and over again. I sat down and I would listen and write, listen and write. And I wrote down every word those ladies said. I did my homework probably 10 times. I just kept redoing it and redoing it. It was all so new and amazing to me. And those principles that I learned in that Bible study transformed my marriage. And I remember saying, God, make me into this woman. This is the woman I want to be. In those days, in the dark ages, churches in the Jackson area would have these big women's seminars. Do y'all remember that, older ladies? And they would call in one kind of a popular personality to be their main speaker, and then they'd have all these breakout sessions. And so I loved going to those, and I would go, and of course you can't go to all the breakout sessions. You only have to pick three. And so I would buy the tapes from all the breakout sessions just because I didn't want to miss anything. I would come home and listen to all those tapes. I would write down every word that was said. I just had this hunger to know God and to know the Word. So hungry to learn. And I had so much to learn. And I really love the Lord. I really, really wanted to know him more. And I really wanted my life to count for him. And I really wanted to serve him. And so all I knew to do as a young bride was just to take advantage of every spiritual opportunity that I had. And then I think it was around 1988. I meant to say this. Before this, you know, our church had what was known as Master Life. I couldn't wait. I did Master Life. I think I did it two times. And then we had Christian Witnessing Training. I did that. I mean, I was doing everything that came along. And then in around 1988, Susie Patrick is in our church, and she had just moved back to Brookhaven with her husband, and she approached me. And she said, you know, in Louisiana, I was involved in the coolest Bible study. It was precept Bible study. And she said, I want you to pray about and consider leading a precept Bible study in our church. And she said, if you'll just teach it, I'll organize it. She's a wonderful organizer. Now, I honestly cannot tell you why Susie approached me. I really had very little experience teaching. But I did have a lot of zeal. And I did have a lot of enthusiasm. And so I prayed about that, and I said yes. And so that fall, we started with one of Kay's Lord series, because you can't teach a precept Bible study unless you've gone to their training and you've been approved to be a precept Bible teacher. So just kind of as a beginning thing, we took her study, Lord, I Want to Know You. Now, if you've never done that study, you need to do it. It's a study of the names of God. That study absolutely overwhelmed me. I'd never heard anyone teach the Bible like Kay Arthur. She just blew me away. She knew her Bible from Genesis to Revelation. She taught with authority. And I became a Kay Arthur wannabe. That resulted in me going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to Precept Ministries for training in order to become a Precept Bible Study teacher. And as going through that, I was certified to teach, and that was the beginning of Thursday morning Bible study over 20-something years ago. And we've been meeting every Thursday morning since, except for a little period of time when I had brain surgery. Y'all remember that? And Miss Della Ballard has been with me in every class I've ever taught. She's so precious. We studied for our very first precept study, 2 Timothy. That's what we're going to study now. You say, Teresa, why are you going to teach again? Well, that's because when I started, I didn't know anything. And I've become a better teacher. And so I want to reteach that to you. And then we studied Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We studied Covenant, the book of James, Titus, Philippians, Hebrews, 1 John, Genesis, Revelation, 2 Peter, Jude, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians. We also did several of her Lord series. We taught two times, Lord, Teach Me to Pray. That's a study on the Lord's Prayer. We studied, Lord, Is It Warfare? Teach Me to Stand. We studied, Lord, I Need Grace to Make It. And then two times I taught, Lord, I Want to Know You. Then our Thursday morning Bible study took a detour. And some of our ladies said, let's do a Beth Moore. So we did. She was coming on the scene and very popular. And so we did Jesus the One and Only. And then we did a Priscilla Shira, He Speaks to Me. We did Experiencing God with Henry Blackaby. We moved to what's known as Community Bible Study. And we studied the book of Nehemiah. And then the next year, we did an Explorer study. We studied Romans, Galatians, and James. The following year, we studied Prophecy. And then we studied the book of Matthew. And last year, we studied 1 and 2 Peter. And so this morning, we're coming back to Precept Bible Studies. And I'm just so excited to teach Second Timothy again. I'm already into it, and yes, it's my favorite book of the Bible right now. But I want to say this. I owe so much personally to Kay Arthur because she has taught me so much. She gave me the skills to learn the Word of God for myself. And if you'll stay with me in this study, you're going to learn those very same skills. You're going to become a workman that needs not to be ashamed, because you will rightly divide the word of truth. Her studies teach you how to study your Bible inductively. That means you're going to go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I promise you this, that if you'll just covenant to see this study through, that the book of 2 Timothy will be yours and it will be in your heart. You know, the Bible is a sword. And you don't handle swords in a flippant way. And if you want a firm grip on your sword, it's going to take time and it's going to take commitment. But if you will study your Bible with me, you will have the book of 2 Timothy in your heart and it will be yours for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not really that bright. I'm not that smart. I do have a college education, but just barely. And I have had brain surgery, so you know I have struggles there. And yet, you know what? I know my Bible. I know my Bible. And I have the privilege of having women come to me from time to time and mentoring younger women. And you know what? When I get with them, I know what to tell them. I never say, well, this is what I think you should do. I say, let's just go to God's Word. And what does God's Word say? And because I've spent so much time in the Word of God, I give godly counsel. I give it to my children. Hopefully, I'll be imparting it to my grandchildren. But it's because I've spent time in the Word of God. And ladies, there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. You can't get it by osmosis. I've tried that. I've slept with my Bible. It doesn't work. You get it by learning skills and taking the time to get in the Word of God. Now, we're going to take a break. And I want you to take time to meet each other because, you know, last year we had over 17 different churches represented in this Bible study. And that's one thing I love about this Bible study. It's not a First Baptist study. It is really a community Bible study for Christian women, and it's just hosted by First Baptist Church. It's all about the Bible, and I'm so glad you're here. We've got a few more tables empty. There's room for more. So you invite other women to come next week with you. Now we're going to break and let me give you some instructions. Our refreshment table is over to my left. And I want you to form lines from each end. Because you're going to go from one end to the middle and the other end to the middle. Is that clear? Does everybody understand? You've got to pay attention here. Because we want to give everybody refreshments as quickly as possible. And so we're going to try to do this. Last year, we never got the hang of it. But if you will just go from each end of the table, you know, I mean, I've kind of got a duplicate. What's on one end's on the other end. You're going to meet at the grapes in the middle, and then you're done. Our drinks will be served over here. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look for five people that you do not know. And introduce yourself during our break time. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to give you some inductive Bible study skills and try to encourage you. We're going to take our homework apart and we're going to look at it together so that you're not going to be overwhelmed, as Karen mentioned you will be. So maybe I can help you and encourage you and give you a little jump start on your homework. So let's close with a word of prayer and then we're going to have a break and come back for part two of our time this morning. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for the beautiful privilege of sitting at your banquet table and studying your beautiful word. Father, everything will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of your word will pass away. By it, we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And so help us, Father, to be very committed to this study. I pray, God, that you would put a holy hedge about that commitment this morning as we've been sitting here and as our hearts are stirred to really want to commit to these weeks that lie ahead. I pray that you will impress upon each woman here to do that very thing, to covenant with you, to be a woman of your word. Oh, Father, we perish because we don't know your word. We just stumble around in darkness because we don't know your word. And so help us to be wise women who take advantage of every opportunity to learn your word. Now just bless us as we break together. I pray every woman will feel loved and wanted in this room because, Father, they are. And I pray that you'll help us to reach out, to speak to one another, to hug, to love, and to welcome each other. Just grow us together in the sweet fellowship of our Lord as we meet on Thursday mornings. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. We're going to take our break now, and then we'll come back. Oh, excuse me just a minute, ladies. Let's get started. I've got a white handout on your table. And it says Principles of Inductive Bible Study. Find that. We're just going to take a few little notes now as we go through. I'm going to be giving you thoughts that come from this book by Kay Arthur, How to Study Your Bible. And if you're really into it, you would enjoy this book. If you're a real technical studier and you really want to go deeper, I'm going to be sharing a lot with you over the course of our Bible study out of this book, and so will your small group leader. I've ordered 25 of these. They haven't made it yet, but I'll have some next week if you say, I think I'd like to invest in that and put it on my shelf. But what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning comes out of this book, How to Study Your Bible. Now, I want to share a verse with you that I just love. It comes out of the book of Daniel. It comes from Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And this is what it says. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Listen to it one more time. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Do you want your life to be a life of strength? And a life that takes action? Do you want to really live for God? Do you want your life to make the maximum impact in your family, in your church, and in your community? I really think the key is in that verse. Did you hear it? But the people who, what? Know their God. I think the key to displaying strength and taking action is knowing God. I'm like Paul. Oh, that I might know him. Is that your heart cry this morning? And I can only say for myself, the more I learn, the more I want to know. I want to be a woman that follows him very closely. I want to be a woman that obeys him completely. I want to be a woman that experiences God every day. I want to be a woman that is constantly living in the awareness of his presence. And I really believe in my own mind and am convinced that the key to knowing God is knowing his word. because that's his revelation to us. It's such a unique book. It is alive. And we all want to be great women of faith, but how does faith come? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We want to be great women of prayer. But let me just ask you a question. How do you know you are praying according to the work, to God's revealed will? I mean, how do you know that when you pray, you're praying what God wants you to pray? You know it because you know His Word. It is His revealed Word. And when you go to your closet to pray and you're standing upon God's Word, you're going to have prayers that are very effective. And then we need direction in our lives, don't we? And God's Word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it's giving us direction. We need healing in our souls. And the Bible says that God's Word is like the balm of Gilead. It brings great comfort and healing to our damaged emotions, so that we don't have to go through life and be an emotional cripple. We want to live in a way that pleases God and honors Him. And it's God's Word that gives us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. And so this morning, I think knowing God's Word is our greatest need as Christian women. And that's why I really, really love that you're here this morning, setting aside this time strictly for the purpose of learning God's Word in an in-depth way. I've told you this before. There was a godly Bible teacher in our church when I first moved to Brookhaven. Her name was Miss Willie King. And she was so precious and so godly. And once somebody said to her, "Miss Willie, I wish I knew the Bible like you did." And she said, "Well, Sonny, I didn't learn it by wishing." And Bible study is going to take very intentional focus. And that's what we're going to do in these next 17 weeks in precept Bible study. In precept Bible study, you're learning to do what is called inductive Bible study. And it's just a method of studying God's Word that you can apply to any portion of Scripture at any time. Now, let me tell you what the main requirement to study your Bible inductively is. It's just a willingness. Now, listen carefully. To slow down, take time, and really look at what the Scripture is saying. You're going to take your Bible, you'll use your Bible as the primary source of information. It's just learning the Bible for yourself. In inductive study, commentaries, books, tapes, and other sources, you only look at those after you've taken time yourself personally to examine thoroughly the Scripture. Now, for example, if I wanted to study frogs, I have a lot of grandsons, they love frogs. I would have to go to the environment where frogs are. I'd go to a marsh. And I would watch those eggs hatch, and I would watch those little tadpoles, and watch their legs develop and watch them jump out of the water and leave the water and see how they're responding to their life on land. And I might even catch one and take it into the biology lab and dissect it and see what it looks like on the inside. And then I might go and read what other people say about frogs, other biologists who've studied frogs and what they've learned. That is inductive study. And you just take the Bible as a whole at first, and you observe it in its environment. You take it apart so that you can understand it firsthand. And then when you've seen all you can see, then you go and compare your observations with those of other godly men and women who've written about that subject down through the ages. Now, it just would be a lot easier just to pick up your National Geographic magazine and see what all they say about frogs rather than going to the creek for yourself. But that's only second-hand knowledge. And so precept Bible study is designed to help us know and understand the Bible and how to study it for yourself, to see what it says about God and what it says about us, and what it says about us becoming a part of God's forever family. Now, there are some basics of inductive Bible study, and there are three of them, and we're going to look at them separately this morning. But I want to say they really don't happen separately. They're going to happen and overlap each other as you study. But let's just take them apart this morning and see what those three parts are. The first one is observation. Observation answers the question, what does the passage say? We're looking for the obvious. What does the passage say? Observation is the foundation that has to be laid if you're going to accurately interpret and properly apply God's Word. You ever get in bed at night and you say, I'm going to read? This happens to me all the time. And 5 minutes later, you know, you're kind of in a stupor and you say, I don't even know what I've read. And you put your book away and you go to sleep. And sometimes we read with our eyes, but not with our minds. And when you're going to be doing your observation, you're going to be reading with a purpose. Every time you come, you're going to be looking for something different. I think a lot of times we just think God's Word will magically make an impression on us without much effort on our part. But that's really not true. This is going to take some effort. A lot of times we read and we don't really understand what we've read. We're waiting for our pastor or Sunday school teacher to tell us and teach on that. But in inductive study, you learn what to look for when you read your Bible. And that's what observation does. Now, this will take time. This will take practice. And you're going to discover that the more you read and the more you get to know a book of the Bible, the more its truths are going to become obvious to you. You're going to be awed by the wealth of the spiritual riches that are contained, even in the shortest books of the Bible. So we're going to start with observation, looking for the obvious. What is this passage saying? What is it saying? What is obvious about this passage? Number two is interpretation. This answers the question, what does the passage mean? What does it say? That's one. What does it mean? That's number two. And the basis for accurate interpretation is always careful observation. This is just the process of discovering what the passage means. Now, you don't want to rush into interpretation, because a lot of times we come to the Bible and our thinking is colored by what we've learned before, or what we think, or what we feel, or what other people have said, rather than just looking at it and letting it speak for itself. So as you observe the text, you begin to see the meaning. Interpretation flows out of observation. It can involve a lot of different steps. You're going to learn how to do cross-referencing. You're going to go from one part of the Bible to another part of the Bible. That's going to give you more information. That's going to add to your understanding. You're going to learn how to do word studies, how to go back to the original language, see what the actual Greek word is. Then you'll go to a Bible dictionary, see what the definition of that word is. And then you can go other places in the Bible where that word has been used. And it will give you more understanding. And then you'll go to commentaries and other things to supplement only after you've done careful observation yourself. Interpretation also involves different types of writing, like, for example, figures of speech. We're going to see that Paul tells Timothy to guard the treasure. The treasure is the gospel. We're going to see he's going to call it other things in there. Parables, allegories, comparisons. And so as you're interpreting, it requires time and it requires intentional focus. In a biblical passage, there may be many applications, but there's only one true interpretation. God's word is very precise. It is not ambiguous. God has given us the ability to discover its meaning. All right, so we've got observation, interpretation, and number three is my favorite, application. That answers the question, how does the meaning of this passage apply to me personally? How does the meaning of this passage apply to me personally? So once you know what it's saying and once you know what it means, then you become responsible for applying those things to your life. And then you're accountable if you don't. Now, this is the goal of our Bible study. Why are we coming to study? It's not so that we just know a lot about the Bible. It's that we have a transformed life. We become mature Christian women. We have that deep and abiding relationship with Christ through His Word. And so application takes place as you're confronted with the truth. And then you say, I'm going to be an obedient woman to what I'm learning. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Do you want to be adequate and equipped for every good work? I love that word equipped. I did a little word study on it. You know what it means? It means that you're totally prepared to handle every situation in a way that honors God. Wow. I want to be totally equipped that no matter what happens, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in my life, but I know one thing. If I have a handle on the Word of God, I'll be equipped. Because all of God's Word, all Scripture is inspired by Him. It's profitable. It teaches me. It corrects me. It trains me so that I can be adequately equipped. Now, here's the bottom line of these three. Accurate interpretation and correct application will rest on the accuracy of your observation. So your observation is vital. And that's what you're going to be doing next week. Okay. Accurate interpretation. Ruby Nan's a studier. She wants every word. And correct application will rest on the accuracy of your observation. And so next week you're going to be doing what is known as the overview. It's lesson one. And I want you to open up your packet and get lesson one out. We're going to look at it. We're going to talk about it. And as Karen said, I think the first lesson can be a little bit overwhelming because she's going to have you look at the whole book of 2 Timothy. So pull out lesson one and then go to your appendix of your book and find your observation worksheets. And here's what they look like. They're just the book of 2 Timothy and they're typed out double-spaced. And there are four pages, four chapters, four pages. And I want you to have those out so we can look at them together. I want you to touch them, get familiar with them. Now, at first, you're going to feel a little awkward when you're doing this study. And I want to encourage you, this is a learning process. You don't become an expert overnight. You're going to learn by doing. And I tell you, it's so second nature with me that whenever I read my Bible, I'm always asking the questions, who, what, where, why, how, when, how did this, what is this? Oh, there's a comparison. Oh, there's an allegory. Oh, yeah, that's a this. And I see lists. And I, you know, because I've been trained under K. Arthur. Now, God's going to give you insight as you're studying, so get ready. What now? Okay, 111 is the page number for the observation work things. 111 is the page number for your observation worksheets. Now, just have that out handy, and let's go over some principles on your handout. that are behind good observation. Here's number one. Just, we'll come back to your pages. I just wanted you to have them out handy. Number one on your handout, you always begin in prayer. Always. Now, if you are born again, who is in you? Who is in you? The Holy Spirit. He is your resident teacher. Scripture says He is in you. He will guide you into all truth. And so you may feel inadequate, but He's not inadequate. So you say, oh, goodness, I'm starting this precept Bible study. I don't know if I can do it. Holy Spirit, will you help me? Will you help me? And He's there. And as you go into your homework, just have an attitude of prayer as you go through it. Now, let me say this too. If you wait to do all of your homework Wednesday night, you're going to be overwhelmed. You need to be doing this a little every day. I really, really want to encourage you to do. Set 20 to 30 minutes per day to do this. But you always begin in prayer. Number two, you're going to identify the context. You're going to identify the context. Now, K. Arthur says context is always king. Context always rules. You remember my tadpole and the frog? What was their context? They were where? They were in the marsh. And so you want to always let context rule. For example, if you have a word in the middle of your verse, let's take the word trunk for an example. What does that word trunk mean? Well, it could mean a luggage compartment of a car. It could mean the flexible snout of an elephant. It could mean a large rigid piece of luggage used for transporting clothing and personal items. It could mean the main stem of a tree. It could mean shorts worn for swimming. How am I going to know what the word is? I've got to see it in context. I've got to see it in the verse to know the meaning. And context always rules. You're going to pay careful attention to repeated words in your text, repeated phrases, or repeated ideas. Now, what she's going to have you do is on your observation worksheet, she's going to have you mark everything you know, you find out about the author. The author is Timothy. Paul. Thank you. I have had great time. There's a little key that she gives you, and I can't find it. It's on the back of your, right here. See this little key right here? She gives you ideas how to mark your words. And if you're real artistic, you may want to do that. What I do is just buy a dollar pack of colored pencils, and I gave everybody a different color. I made Paul blue, and I marked every reference to Paul in all four chapters in blue. Then I marked every reference to Timothy in another color. And then she's going to guide you in your homework, tell you to do this. And then I mark the key words in another color. And as you do that, every time you read, you find out things about Paul. You find out things about Timothy. You find out things about the gospel. You find out things about suffering. And in this week's homework, she's going to have you, and this is on page, written over it, so I can't see what page it is. People in 2 Timothy, it's right at the end of your homework for week one. You're going to make a list of everything you learned in chapter 1 about Paul, in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Then you're going to come back and write down everything you learned about Timothy. You see, this is just easy. But let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take time. And then you're going to say, well, are there any other people mentioned in the book? And well, yes, there are. And you're going to write down what you found out about them on the same book. Now turn it over. Another day, she's going to have you write down what you learn about the key words. What do you find out about the gospel in chapter 1? What do you find out about suffering? And you're going to be making a list of everything that you found. It's not hard. It just takes time. And every time you come to the book next week, you're going to be reading it with a different purpose. This, it really scares everybody. Page 18. She's going to have you do a chart of the book. This is called 2 Timothy at a Glance. And she wants you to say, what is the purpose of this book? Who wrote it and why did he write it? And who did he write it to? And what do you see about the historical setting? Is there anything you can pick up? Well, you're going to find that people are suffering for the gospel when this is being written. And then she's going to want you to kind of give a theme of each chapter. And so don't let this scare you. Have fun with it. There are no right or wrong answers. Just see what you come up with. And every time you read the book, you're looking for different things, and you're learning. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen with you if you do this study with me. You're going to memorize a lot of this book. I never set out to memorize Scripture, and yet I know a lot of Scripture. And the reason is because I carefully observe it. And if you read it over and over and over again, you're going to find yourself memorizing this book. All right, number 3, is that where we are? Observe the obvious. Don't try to make it hard. Look for the things that are easy to see. You're going to see, what are facts in this? What facts do I see about people, places, or events? And so next week when you do your homework, just keep your focus on the obvious. It's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle. What do you look for first? The four corners. Then what do you look for? The side pieces. And once you put that together, you've got your framework. So next week you're going to be putting the framework to the book together. Here's number 4. Always deal with the text objectively. I think I put it this way. Let the text speak for itself. Is that what I put on your handout? Let the text speak for itself. Now we do this so often. We look for a verse that ministers to my heart, or I want to help someone, so I try to find a verse to help someone, or I want to set someone straight, so I find a verse to set them straight. But that's not what we're doing. We're looking at the whole here. We're wanting absolutes that we can stake our life on. It will minister to you personally, though. You'll find that out. But so first you want to look at it objectively. Then you're going to personalize it, and then you're going to apply it correctly. Here's number 5. Read with a purpose. You are now becoming Bible detectives. We're doing Precept on Sunday nights with our children. Do you know Precept has the most wonderful studies for children? And I know in our children's ministry here, we're just are tired. We just give them the same 20 Bible studies year after year. But they really can learn the Word of God. And so we've taken a Precept children's study, Jonah, and we're teaching them the book of Jonah. It's amazing what young children can learn about the Bible. It's so good. Where am I? Forgot what I just told you. Read with a purpose. Oh, and the reason I said that is because they're Bible detectives. That's what they are in their children's. So I love that. You want to get the whole story. You want all the details. And so a good detective always asks 5 W's and an H. The 5 W's are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, and why. Who wrote this? Why did he write it? Where was he when he wrote it? When did he write it? And then how is the H. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. These questions are the building blocks of precise observation, and they're going to lay the foundation for accurate interpretation. Now, you cannot rush. That's why you need to do it every day. You need to give yourself time to carefully consider what it is saying. You're going to be asking these questions. And so next week, as you do lesson one, it's your overview. Now, this is what it's like. It's like going up in an airplane, 3,000 feet, and you're going to look at a piece of property that you want to buy. And when you're up that high, you can't see much of the detail, can you? You just see the borders of the property. Later, you're going to walk that land acre by acre and carefully examine it. But this week in our lesson, we're going to go up 3,000 feet, and we're going to look at the whole book as a whole. And it's going to set the foundation for accurate study that's to follow. What we're doing is the framework. Now, what kind of literature is 2 Timothy? Is it historical? Is it poetic? Is it biographical? What is it? It's an epistle. I love studying the epistles. They're my very favorite. And the reason is because they're doctrinal. They tell you how to live and how to operate in your churches. And so we're going to be studying a letter. It's an epistle. Now, you've looked at your observation worksheets. We've talked about you're going to be marking keywords. Don't hesitate. Write all over your observation worksheets. That's what they're for. And don't be in a hurry as you do your homework. Give yourself time. Give yourself time. Listen to Deuteronomy 6:6-7. This is what it says. These words shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your household, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, God's word ought to occupy our minds all the time. And so as you give yourself time in your homework, that's what's going to happen. You're going to find yourself thinking 2 Timothy. You're going to find yourself meditating on 2 Timothy. Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the one who does not stand in the counsel of wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Now, I've discovered that the best way to really retain something is to give it away. And so I get to do that a lot as a teacher. I'm studying, and then I communicate to you what I've learned. I give it away. And you need to be doing the same thing. That's why small groups are so important. You're going to talk about what you're learning. You're going to share it with each other. Talk about it in your homes. Talk about it with your family. Give it away, and it will be yours forever. I think Bible study should be a lifelong habit. It's something you'll never outgrow. Personally, I've been studying my Bible for over 35 years. Can I just tell you something? I've barely scratched the surface on what is there of the infinite mind of God. It's such a worthy pursuit. God has given us his word so that we might know him, so that we might live lives that are worthy of our calling as the children of God. I want you to study with me, and I want you to be positive as you walk through your homework. It's going to be different than what we've done in the past, but I want you to persevere. You know what? Just do what you can. Do what you can. I want you to commit to being here on Thursday mornings. I want you to make it a priority. Don't schedule your hair appointment, your dentist appointment, or any other appointment on this day. You say, I can come any time but Thursday morning. Because if you don't, guess what? They'll always give you an appointment on Thursday morning. Because I can promise you one thing. Satan does not want you in Bible study. He does not. Be very, very careful to guard this time. And I want you to make that covenant on that commitment. I want you to study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's unbelievable, but, you know, we'll snap our fingers and this study will be over. Time goes so quickly. And so, Father, help us as women to give your study, to give your word priority. And I know that as we walk out these doors, our lives are so busy. Women, I mean, there are so many categories of our lives. But would you help us to carve out time to sit in your word? And then, Holy Spirit, would you encourage us so that we might not feel awkward at studying your word, but that we'll be faithful at trying to really do our homework and let your word, which is living, get in our hearts. Help us to memorize it. Help us to talk about it, to think upon it. As we sit and as we lay down and as we walk, help us to share it with our children and our grandchildren. And Father, we're so needy before you. We live in such a needy time. And we perish because we don't know your word. May we put your word in our churches on a lampstand that it might shine brightly. It is anointed. It is powerful. I pray that our lives will be transformed as we open up our hearts to your beautiful word. Now, Father, thank you for every lady that's here this morning. I can hardly wait to share with you all that I'm learning out of 2 Timothy. What a dynamic book. God, may this never be boring. Your word is not boring. It is so exciting to me. And I pray, Father, that we'll get enthusiastic over this opportunity to learn your beautiful word. And Father, may it make a difference in our homes, in our churches, in our community, and even in the world. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, before we go, let me say one more thing. When we ordered our books for 1 Timothy, because we don't do a pre-registration, we were not sure how many we'd have. And so, because the books were $30, our church orders our books for us, and then we pay the church back. We only ordered 100 books. And so we have run out, which is a wonderful problem. Connie has already put an order in for more. They'll be here next week. But if you did not get a book, we have made copies of the first lesson for you so that you'll have everything you need to do your lesson. Are they here, Sandra? They're here. Yeah, did you bring up any lessons? Does anyone need one? That doesn't happen. Okay, Liv, they're down in the church office. We'll get you one. And so next week, we ought to have books for everybody because we're going to order 50 more. And you invite people to come join us next week. I'm just so excited about it.